One of the ways to think about this problem of the supermarkets having too much space is think of all the people that they have to compete with now, besides each other, that they wouldn't have had to compete with, say, 30 years ago. I mean, you've got Amazon selling groceries. You've got all of these meal kit companies like Blue Apron that are delivering meals straight to people's door. Drugstores get like a third of their revenue from selling food. Convenience stores sell food. Costco sells food. Walmart sells food. There's so much competition. And what a lot of the supermarket chains decided is that if they're going to stand out in this field, what they're going to need are kind of big, beautiful, gleaming stores. And I have to admit, I mean, the supermarkets that I go to today are so much nicer and so much more pleasant than the ones that I went to growing up. But the problem is that bigger space is costly. And in a low profit margin business, if you're not keeping sales growing, it's going to be very hard to justify keeping all that space open.
Some of us joke that what we do on weekends now is go to Whole Foods or go to Harris Teeter, because it's not just about pushing that cart through the aisles and quickly filling it up with what you need. You get a glass of wine, you sit and watch TV for a while in their pub or their bar, but they've got those kinds of things set up to keep you in the store and to make it a much more pleasurable experience. And I think some people would be sad to see that go away because of economics.
I think that's true, and I think that experience element does make a big difference. But there again, the economics are kind of punishing. You know, Starbucks is charging you a lot of money for the experience of getting a cup of coffee, but in Starbucks, that experience is very sort of concentrated on just a handful of products, and in a relatively, you know, each individual Starbucks typically is a relatively tight physical space. You know, a grocery store is maybe devoting, I don't know, 10% of its space to that sort of wow factor, you know, cheese and salami bar or a little, you know, brew pub. But they're not making enough money out of that experience factor to justify the huge amount of space that they have to fill and all the goods they have in inventory. And, you know, also, you know, one problem that hasn't changed over time for grocery stores that a lot of other businesses don't have is that something like a third of the food that gets stored in supermarkets and put on sale in supermarkets never gets bought and it goes to waste. You know, that's not a problem that you typically have at, you know, at a Starbucks or at a pizza parlor.
What can we see in our grocery stores in years to come? We still demand those delicious organic products and a variety.
I think you can maybe expect not necessarily smaller places, but fewer stores where the big grocery stores will sort of slim down their total square footage overall. You know, if you're part of the city has, you know, four Harris Teeters, maybe it will go down to two or three. The ones that will stick around will probably be even more distinctive. A supermarket that just opened in my neighborhood has a piano bar. I find that a little weird, but it seems to be really popular. You know, so you'll get outside of that like cookie cutter image. And in that fewer number of stores, you'll probably see a more aggressive attempt to boost those, you know, experience oriented elements, you know, which means more kind of exotic products, more of the kind of prepared foods that you might stick around to eat, more of the wine bars, more samples, you know, those kinds of things that have made supermarkets fun in recent years. They will keep doing them. They'll just be doing them maybe in fewer spaces so that they can wring the maximum amount of income out per square foot.